Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and today we will be talking about car seats, how to pick out a car seat, how to install a car seat, and car seat safety. My guest today is Jennifer Saxton. Jennifer received her BS in math at Duke University and then her MBA from Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and has been a certified child passenger safety technician since 2009. Jen is the founder and CEO of Tot Squad, a mobile baby gear service. Tot Squad has raised over $2 million with its juggernaut aspirations to transform the baby world. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Okay. I remember way earlier on when you were getting started and you were somehow everywhere. I thought there were like 10 of you. How did you get started and interested in this business?
Well, it's really funny because I don't have any children. So most people assume that I got into this business because I had a baby who was dirty or had trouble installing a car seat myself. And that's not the case. I actually wrote the business plan while I was getting my MBA and had talked to a lot of different millennial moms. I'm the oldest year of millennials. So I just saw millennials are really obsessed with work-life balance. And I thought, as this generation starts to have children, there's going to be so many opportunities to help save those millennial moms time or frustration. So I had a spreadsheet with 50 ideas and this idea that car seats are really hard to install. In fact, as many as 90% of car seats are incorrectly used or installed, and a leading cause of death for kids under 14 is car accidents. In fact, a recent study even showed that 50% of children who die in car accidents were not properly restrained. So I realized there's a really big issue here and no great solution, and I got to work.
You realized all of that while you were studying for your MBA?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have access to great, you know, data and studies and professors and alumni who kind of help you sort through writing the business plan. And it was great because after I graduated, I won the business plan competition, and I raised a little bit of starter funds from friends and family, and then just went out and executed on the plan I had written in school.
It's amazing that you were able to think outside yourself and outside your circle. But it's true. Like when you go to a baby expo and you meet all these different brand innovators, all of them, for the most part, they have a story about how they got to X, Y, and Z point and nobody had this particular product or service available. It's amazing for you to be able to think straight business and say, oh, there's a need. I think I can fill that need.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't hurt that I also love babies.
Okay. That's helpful. That's helpful.
I'm still a newlywed, though, so give me a few minutes.
Well, yeah, you can have a few minutes. So in today's episode, I want to talk about two things. One is there are so many car seats on the market. It's almost impossible task to go through it. And that's just one baby product. Once you get to all the other products, the strollers and the pack and plays and the bottles and the baby carriers, there's so many products to get through. It's sort of hard to, it's almost overwhelming to make decisions. And there are different features on the car seats that manufacturers have in market. And I think you're going to be able to really help us break down what the different things are to look for when you're buying a car seat. That's part one of what we're going to do. After our break, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about how to use it once you have it, proper installation of car seats and proper use of them. So let's get started by talking about features on car seats. Like if somebody's just starting to research their car seat purchase, what kind of things would they be looking for?
Well, I think it's important to first explain that there's a number of different types of car seats. So most parents are facing this decision when starting to work on their baby registry. So let me just give a quick overview of the various types of car seats and which ones I think you should register for. The first car seat is an infant-only car seat, or sometimes called a rear-facing-only car seat. And that is kind of the typical bucket that you see that moms can kind of carry in and out of the car without waking the sleeping baby and click into their stroller. So that's an infant car seat. After that is something called a convertible car seat. Convertible car seats go from both rear-facing to forward-facing, and most families are using a convertible car seat when their child is age 1 to 4 or 5. After that, parents will often transition into a combination seat. A combination seat is a forward-facing only seat with a 5-point harness system that can then be removed as the child gets bigger and used as a booster. If they happen to go straight from convertible to booster seat, that's also an option, but sometimes there's an in-between seat there. So then the last kind of car seat is a booster seat. Here in California, kids have to be in a car seat of some sort until they are 8 years old or at least 4'9". And the reality is a lot of kids that are 11 and 12 could really still benefit from using a booster seat. And we as car seat advocates are always working to try and convince parents to help their kids get over the social stigma of still sitting in a booster seat when they're past age 8.
Yeah. Well, as a parent of those kids, they really want to get out of it as soon as possible.
Yes, they do. And what's really cool is, and I know that most of the people listening to this are still pregnant and far, far away from that, but there are some really neat, new, innovative car seats, booster seats like the MyFold, which actually can just fold in half and fit in your purse.
I saw that.
Yeah. So it's not even obvious to your friends that you're necessarily, if you're, you know, a preteen, your friends won't necessarily know that you are using a car seat.
So I want to get back to that in a second, because I saw a few innovative ideas that seem new on the marketplace. But just to go in the order that you started, with the infant-only rear-facing seat, is that a seat that everyone needs to start out in, or could you start in a convertible from the beginning?
You could start in a convertible from the beginning. Most of the convertible car seats on the market will range from 4 or 5 pounds all the way up to, I know the Diono seat goes up to 120 pounds when being used as a booster. So you could theoretically buy one car seat for your child's entire life in a car seat. I think that for convenience reasons, specifically the sleeping baby issue, which everybody knows how hard it is to get your baby to fall asleep and stay asleep. So if they're sleeping in that infant-only car seat, you can have the convenience of being able to take them in and out of the car without having to unbuckle them from the car seat, which will often wake them up.
Yeah. So how big could they be and still be in there? When do they outgrow that?
The infant seat, it ranges, but it's typically 20 to 40 pounds, I would say, is the very high end. But most kids are transitioning out between 9 to 15 months and into a convertible seat. But it's really important that you kind of identify the height and weight limits on the specific car seat that you buy when you're making your decisions about whether it's time to transition or not.
Are there features on that infant seat that vary from brand to brand, or specific features to look for that could be helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one feature in general on car seats that you should look at is expiration dates, especially if this is your first child and you're thinking about having more children in the future. And some car seats will expire after only 5 years and others might last you 9. I think there might be even one more car seat that goes up to 10 or 12 years on the market. And the reason that car seats expire, I think people are always baffled by this idea that car seats expire, is because they are built out of a foam on the inside underneath the fabric. And as that car seat sits in your vehicle, it gets really hot during the day and then it cools off at night and it gets hot and cold and hot and cold.
It's expanding and over time,
it's expanding and contracting. And over time, that foam can actually get brittle. So you don't want to be in a car accident and have an expired car seat where the foam just cracks instead of cushioning your child. So I would look at the expiration dates, and because the car seats expire, don't pre-buy any further steps than what you really need. So if you're going to start with an infant seat, I would only put the infant seat on your registry. I would not also purchase a convertible, a combination, or a booster seat while you're pregnant, because you're kind of just going to be eating into those years toward your expiration when you're not using it.
Plus, cool new models might come out.
Exactly. Well, and the other reason that they expire is because there's so many new safety regulations always coming on the market. And you want to, I mean, the car seat manufacturers obviously want you to buy a new car seat, but they want you to have the safest one that meets current regulation.
I guess that's important too. I mean, if you're getting a hand-me-down or something like that, to look at the expiration.
Absolutely.
Because it might be closer past.
Absolutely. And you also want to make sure that if you are getting a hand-me-down car seat, that you're getting it from someone you know and trust, and that it has never been in a car accident. Car seats almost can never be reused after being in a car accident. And it's really nice. Some states like California do have regulations where the insurance company has to reimburse you for a new car seat after you've been in an accident.
Yeah.
Zero cost out of your pocket.
Yeah, or sometimes four
if you have
a bunch
of kids
like we do. Okay, that's good news. And then also, I did see at a recent baby show a infant seat with wheels that drop down.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's called the Doona, D-O-O-N-A, and it is a really neat innovation in our industry, and it's effectively an infant car seat / stroller. So instead of having to snap that infant seat into a, you know, snap-and-go stroller base or a travel system, you just unclick this lever and the wheels fall down off the back and you can just stroll with it right away. So I love it. It is a slightly higher price point than what you'll see for a lot of other infant seats, and it's also pretty heavy. So I think there are some trade-offs. Like, it's kind of a neat feature, but it's not for every family. Some of the other features, though, that I think people might want to look for in an infant seat are some safety features that are kind of coming over from Europe that are starting to become more popular here in the United States. One of those is called an anti-rebound bar, which you will see on a lot of rear-facing car seats. And effectively what it does is, if you're in a car accident, that car seat is going to move, kind of ride the wave of the crash. And especially with a small baby, you want it to cushion the baby's head. And I know, Dr. Berlin, you know
all about the baby's spine.
All about the baby's spine. You want it to be fully supported, especially because you don't want their head flopping around too much when they have that tiny little airway and no head control. So the rebound bar actually prevents the car seat from moving as much when it rebounds backwards towards the back of the vehicle. So that's a great feature that some new brands are coming out with.
So did you see that on the infant seat and the convertible?
You'll see it on infant and convertible. So I know the new Britax car seats have anti-rebound bars on them.
Yeah,
and
I saw them
Kleck
at the baby show.
Well.
They looked really cool.
They're really, really neat. And then there's another one called a load leg, and it kind of helps stabilize the car seat. Same sort of thing. It's helping minimize rotation in an accident. And you'll see those load legs a lot in Europe. And just now coming out here in the United States, the Nuna Pippa is probably the most popular car seat with a load leg on it.
Great. And they do range in weight, like not how big the baby can be, but how much they actually weigh.
Absolutely.
Which is a consideration, too. I think some of them, if you're a bigger person and you can carry heavier weights, the benefits of those heavier infant seats might not definitely outweigh the heaviness for you.
Absolutely.
But if you're smaller or have a harder time carrying heavier weight, then it's something to consider.
Yeah, actually, at one of the baby shows I was at recently, they announced the Nuna Pippa Lite, which is a car seat that only weighs 5 pounds, and I could actually lift it with one finger.
Wow.
So it had no baby in it, but still, it's light enough you can lift it with one finger. So if you're more petite, that's cool to check out. And I don't know, Dr. Berlin, if you saw the viral video last year of the chiropractor actually showing kind of a nifty way to pick up the car seat using your bicep, but maybe we can put a link to that.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely link to it.
Yeah.
So then in convertibles, how do things change? So you're saying wait till your baby's maybe 6 or 9 months old before you even buy the convertible.
Exactly. I would wait until your baby is about to outgrow that infant seat. So the first thing is that they don't necessarily outgrow them right away. The strap height can be adjusted to kind of grow with your child. So the first step is that most infant car seats will come with an infant insert, which you might need if you have a low birth weight baby, or if just if you have a small child. I know, like, the Kiko car seat only allows you to use that infant insert until the baby is 11 pounds.
Mm.
And what it does is it kind of sits behind the baby in the car seat and pushes their whole body forward towards the crotch buckle. Because if there's a big gap between the baby and the buckles, then in an accident, first the child's going to slide forward and impact with that buckle.
Right, it becomes a hazard.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to kind of fill that space, and the infant insert will help do that. And then as your child grows, you want to adjust those harnesses. So another feature that you will see on car seats these days is a no rethread harness. And what that means is that instead of having to kind of flip the car seat over and try to feed straps through tiny holes and route them and make sure they don't get twisted.
It's daunting. That's what I did with my car seats.
So, yeah, I mean, we have people all the time because my business, Tot Squad, not only helps people install car seats, but we also clean them. People will actually take apart their car seat on their own, try to clean it, and then they can't get it back together.
Yeah, I've had that problem.
Yeah, so they just come, they've got everything in a big pile, and they're like, please just help me. Like, it's a safety device, and it's complicated.
And if you don't put it together the right way, it's not going to serve its safety purpose.
Exactly. So I definitely recommend watch YouTube or take before photos before you take your car seat apart. Or perhaps consider getting a car seat that has a no rethread harness, which means it just kind of has a little lever that you can lift up and down and slide.
Oh, that's great.
So that it adjusts to the child's height as the baby grows.
Oh, that's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
So the no rethread harness would have helped me a lot.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And then the convertibles, you said they have a big range. You can put them in, as infants, even, mm-hmm. if you don't want that feature of being able to click it in and out of a base in your car.
Correct.
And then it goes all the way up to, you said, maybe 120 pounds on some of them.
Yeah. I think convertible car seats can be really intimidating for parents because they have so many more features that it's confusing which ones you're supposed to use when.
When, yeah.
So on a convertible car seat, when it's rear facing, you have to kind of get it set up in a certain setting. And then when you flip it forward facing, you kind of have to adjust a couple of other things in the way you fit your child into it. Is also different. So I highly recommend that all new parents consult an expert when trying to use their car seat for the first time. And whether that be a fireman or a policeman or someone at the hospital, there is a certification called Child Passenger Safety Technician.
Which you have.
Which I have. There are about 40,000 individuals in the United States that have this certification, and you can find the one closest to you at safercar.gov.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, so and at Tot Squad, we just call it a safety school appointment. So it's 30 minutes to an hour, and we will kind of help fit your car seat to your vehicle and help you learn how to use it so that you can feel really confident. It's amazing how many people FaceTime me and send photos from the hospital after they've delivered saying, I had pregnancy brain. I forgot everything that you taught me. Is the baby properly situated in the car seat?
Oh, pictures. That's great.
Modern technology.
Yeah, I mean, what did we do before that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the convertible car seats, we had those also, and it is. You look at the instructions, and they can be very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I often joke that, especially with the statistic, that as many as 90% of car seats are incorrectly used, which came out of a study from Seattle. A hospital actually had someone check, you know, how many people were leaving the hospital with their child correctly in the car seat and with the car seat correctly installed, and they found 9 out of 10
were not installed properly?
Correct.
That's amazing.
Or the parent didn't have the child harnessed correctly in the car seat. But
right, so, that's two separate things, and we'll talk about more after the break. One is getting the car seat in properly and then getting the child into it.
Exactly. And
properly.
So one of those two misuses is very common, and that's why the statistic is so high. So I often say even the Stanford dads get it wrong. But that's why I think it's really important that dads, this is the one instruction manual you really have to read.
Yeah.
Don't do like you did with the home theater system and just try to figure it out. Take the time to really understand all of the features of your car seat.
It never really got easier over time either because, you know, we had four kids and the technology changed a little bit in the devices themselves, but it never felt to me like this is straightforward and easy. Every time, it's like doing a puzzle.
It really is. And I think people often ask me what specific brand of car seat do I recommend? Or is a more expensive car seat better than a less expensive car seat? And I think it's important to let everyone know that NHTSA, which is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, NHTSA requires that all car seats pass a crash test. And they have all passed the exact same safety standards. So any car seat that you get new in a box, again, not knowing what you're going to get if you get a hand-me-down, but any new car seat that you buy is going to be safe for your child. And yes, there are various safety features, like I mentioned, those load legs and anti-rebound bars, and some car seat brands that are now even offering what they call side impact protection.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is a lot of those things are just I hate to say just, but their marketing tactics. And while that certain brand may have done testing to show that their protection was better than the next guy, it hasn't necessarily been independently verified by, you know, government agencies. So I wouldn't read too much into the marketing that you see on the car seat. Any car seat that you get is going to be safe for your child. And the rule of thumb that we learn as CPSTs is that the best car seat for you is the car seat that fits your vehicle, that fits your child, and that you can use correctly every single time. And I think that's really important. I want to repeat it. It's the car seat that fits your vehicle, fits your child, and that you can use correctly every single time. Because the reality is, if you have a two-seater sports car or a pickup truck, you might be in a different situation than somebody with a minivan with multiple captain's chairs. And it's great that so many baby stores now will actually allow you to take one of their floor models out to your car and play around with it before you make the purchase.
Yeah, those are three key points. And for me, the third one is almost... You only know if you play with it, if you try it. I mean, all of them, really. Yeah, if you take it to your car and see, does it fit? Your child is going to grow over time, so...
That's why you got to switch car seats sometimes,
why you have
or
so
adjust
many
the
options
one you've got.
In car seats, but whether it fits your car and whether you can use it properly over time, that's going to vary from car to car and person to person.
Mm-hmm.
The combination seat, the forward only seat, what's the benefit of getting that over sticking out in a convertible, other than easy instructions?
I think that sometimes they have higher height and weight limits on the combination seats, whereas a lot of the convertible seats are, you know, I gave the example of the Diono because it really does go up to 120 pounds in booster mode, but not all of them do. And so a combination seat that can be used both forward facing and as a booster, it'll allow your child to ride in that 5-point harness for even longer. So if you think about race car drivers, they ride around in a 5-point harness. And I guess just to explain what that is, if you think of a lap belt is a 2-point harness, right? Because it just clicks on either one of your hips.
Right.
And a seatbelt that we adults use is a 3-point harness because it covers one shoulder and two hips. And so the 5-point harness that a child is using is actually connecting to the car seat right at the two shoulders, at the crotch, and then at the two hips. So that's a 5-point harness. And everyone, including us, would be safer if we all rode around in 5-point harnesses because it helps distribute the forces from a crash over a larger area.
I would do it.
Yeah. You can get your race car
harness. And not only that, it's even cool because it's race car drivers do it.
Exactly. Well, and it's funny. Riding rear-facing is also 5 times safer than riding forward-facing for adults and for children.
Except for the driver,
yeah. Exactly. So I was like, if we could all ride backwards, we'd be safer too. So in Sweden, children rear-face until age 5 a lot of the time. So here in the U.S., we call that extended rear-facing because the American Academy of Pediatricians actually recommends that children stay rear-facing until at least age 2 or until they outgrow the height or weight limits for rear facing on their car seat. And it's great. Some states like California have now passed laws requiring that the child stay rear facing until age 2. And we see a lot of parents asking, has my child outgrown their car seat because his or her legs are kicking the back seat and they don't look comfortable? And I think we just have to remember that, and you, I'm sure Dr. Berlin can attest to this, little babies, their hips aren't fully fused. Like their bones are a lot more limber. Their bodies are more limber than ours are. So they can sit crisscross applesauce or froggy style or with their legs kicked up on the back seat a lot more comfortably than you or I could. So we don't necessarily want to compare what their comfort level is to what ours is. And if your kid screams every time in their car seat, some kids just do that.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that you have the wrong car seat or that they don't fit in it.
Yeah, I think you have to know your child. And if you see that they're complaining because they're literally uncomfortable, then it may not be a good fit anymore.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the booster. What point do you switch over to a booster? And can we talk about the cool? I saw two things. You mentioned one, which was that little travel booster that nobody even knows you're sitting on.
Yep.
And I think the difference is normally a booster seat lifts your child up to a seatbelt. That brings the seatbelt down to your child.
Exactly.
which is a really cool concept.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So basically, as you described, a traditional booster, it's kind of like sitting on a phone book. We used to say when there were phone books. So it really lifts the child up because you want to make sure that the seatbelt is positioned over the top of the thighs instead of on the stomach. So you can tell a kid doesn't fit in a seatbelt very well when you see the lap belt portion going right across their internal organs, which is not where you want, you know, on those soft tissues in an accident. Or you can tell that they don't fit in the seatbelt yet if the seatbelt is hitting them in the neck. It should be resting right over their shoulder. So traditional booster seats will lift the child up to get the lap belt a little lower on the hips and to get that shoulder belt from hitting them, keep
off
it from
neck.
Hitting them in the neck. But the MyFold, for example, is really neat because it is adjusting the seatbelt to fit the child. So it kind of has like these little belt path things on the sides of it that you run the seatbelt through that adjusts it to fit your child. So it's a little harder to use, I think, on a day-to-day basis because you have to kind of route the seatbelt through that belt path in three places every time you use it versus a traditional booster, which can kind of just sit on the vehicle seat and then have the regular seatbelt.
It's like automatic.
Yeah. But if you got to send your kid to school and have somebody else is going to pick them up, it'll fit right in their backpack. So
exactly. We used to switch them from car to car back and forth. Oh, don't forget the booster seat.
Exactly.
Now you just leave one in there.
Exactly.
Takes up
no the other cool one that you might have seen is actually the inflatable car seat. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that.
So nobody believes that this thing has passed crash tests, but it is called the Bubble Bum, and it's so portable you can travel with it anywhere you want because you can just deflate it like a pool float or something and put it in your backpack deflated and blow it up when you get to your destination.
And it has. It must have passed.
It works. Exact same thing, just like a phone book. It would raise your kid up to help them fit the seatbelt better.
I saw one other one that was like a harness that the kid almost wears.
A vest. So the Ride Safer vest is a cool feature. I feel like these originally started on airplanes to help kids fit better. A lot of car seats are okay to use on the airplane, as an aside. It will have a sticker on it that says it's FAA approved. So make sure you check that before you buy a seat for your child, for an under two, that is, because obviously you're buying a seat on the airplane if your kid is already over age two. But not all car seats can be used on airplanes, so make sure you check yours.
All right. But do you like the vest?
Oh, yeah. The vests are cool. I think very similar to the MyFold seat or the Bubble Bum, where you kind of have to route the seatbelt through these little paths. It can be a little tricky, I think, for everyday use. But if you're looking for convenience of something that's super portable, I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, they look really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids are too big to try them now.
Yeah.
But like I said, I want that 5-point harness in my car for
totally.
Me. Totally. All right, Jennifer, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back and talk about proper installation and use of car seats.
Great.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash. Well, Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and we're continuing our discussion of car seat safety with Jennifer Saxton. All right, we talked a lot about different types of car seats, and now let's talk about how to use them properly. You said your three important things on picking out the right car seat are that it fits the car, it fits the child, and that you can use it the right way every time.
Yep.
I will say this. When we got our first car seat, I think that's around the time the latch system was first coming out. I didn't not read the instructions. I just didn't read them as thoroughly as I should have. And I spent a lot of time installing the car seat. I sort of tweaked my back installing the car seat. And I was so proud to install the car seat. Then we met somebody who does car seat installations and safety checks, right? And she came over and she looked at it. And I was like, honey, you don't need this. I did it perfect. And she said, wow. She's like, there's a few places where you could put the car seat, but you put it in the only place where you can't put the car seat. And I was like, oh, really? And then she put it in, and it was amazing how it doesn't shift from side to side at all. Mm-hmm. I had put mine like right in the middle because I thought that's the safest place. If we get hit from either side, the baby will be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how you even go about installing, starting with, let's say, the infant seat, that base safely. Mm-hmm. And you can use the infant seat with a base or without a base.
Correct. You can. So I guess let's first tackle where in the car you should put your car seat.
Yes, thank you.
I think most important thing is that it is not in front of an active airbag. So if you do have multiple children or a two-seater vehicle and you have to install a car seat in the front seat, people always ask me, is that illegal? I saw somebody riding around with a car seat in the front seat. So it's not illegal, but they do have to disengage the airbag.
It's not illegal if you have a two-seater, or it's not illegal,
period? No, it's not illegal because there's a lot of people with a lot of different kinds of vehicles. So you might see somebody riding around with a baby seat in the front seat.
And it's legal.
And it's legal.
Not
as long
as safe.
It's not as safe. The back seat is definitely safer. But, you know, you have four kids and a five-seater car. What are you going to do?
You've got to put someone somewhere.
Somebody's got to go somewhere. Exactly. Some of those poor quadruplet moms, right?
Yeah, seriously. That's quite a squeeze.
Where in the car, I think the common thing that you will read all over the internet is that the backseat center is the safest place because it is the farthest from any side impact crashes. And I put a big asterisk after that. It is only the safest place in the car if you can get a really good installation there.
Right.
And the reality is 90 plus, maybe 95% of cars do not have the latch system in the center of the back seat.
That's what happened to my car. We had one on the right and one on the left, but not in the
middle.
Not
in the center.
So I was using the left one from the right and the right one from the left, and that's totally not
safe. That is totally not safe. We see people do it all the time.
Okay. I'm not the only one.
So I guess to address what is latch, maybe I'll start at that fundamental level. So latch stands for lower anchors and tethers for children. And it's been part of the regulation since 2002 that every car seat needs to have these lower anchors. And the vehicle, every vehicle since 2002 has these connectors. And so if you don't know where they are in your car, you can check in your vehicle manual. I just flip to the index and look for the word child, and you'll usually find something about the latch system there. Or you might see a little button or cover or zipper pocket or Velcro area kind of in the crevice between the back and the bottom of your vehicle seat, where you'll see a little picture of a baby in a car seat that you probably never even noticed it was there. And that is where you will find these little hooks that are the lower anchors in your vehicle. So some car seats, the very, very few minority, will allow you to install in the center using those outboard seats latch, as long as they're like less than 11 inches apart or something.
Hmm.
But I would say that's the exception, not the rule, and only do that if your vehicle and your car seat both explicitly allow it.
I gotcha.
I don't think I've ever found anybody that had that.
What's interesting about these latch anchors is that you would never know they're there unless you're looking for them.
Unless you're a parent,
yeah,
right? So
totally
it's like
hidden.
You probably owned cars for, you know, 10, 15 years and never even
never
noticed.
Never knew they were there. And oh, wow.
Exactly.
Who knew that's hiding down there?
And then on the back of the vehicle seat, you have the tether anchor. And same thing, you'll find a little picture of a baby in a car seat on most of them on a little cover. But they can be easy to confuse with cargo hooks in the back of SUVs. So again, I recommend checking your vehicle instruction manual to figure out where the tether location is. But you will not need to use that until your child is forward facing, which is probably at least 2 years away if you haven't had your baby yet. So installing with the latch is a lot more straightforward, I think, for new parents than installing with the seatbelt is. So you basically have a choice. Again, There are a few very small exceptions to this rule, but generally you can only install your car seat with a seatbelt or with a latch, not both. So some of those crafty engineer dads will think that, oh, well, I'm going to hook up the seatbelt and the latch because that's got to be safer. Like, I'll know that it's
double safe.
Exactly, double safe. But the reality is the car seat probably has not been crash tested like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, they can actually work against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you only want to install with either the latch or the seatbelt. And we see so many more misuses and errors in car seat installation when parents are trying to use the seatbelt,
mm-hmm.
which is why most of my customers will end up with a car seat installed on the rear passenger side. And the question is why behind the passenger, not behind the driver? And from a practical perspective,
you could see your kid.
Well, you can see your kid if you get one of those backseat mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be parked, anytime you're parked on a busy street, the passenger side is on the sidewalk side,
right.
And the driver's side is in oncoming traffic.
Safety.
So,
safer.
You don't want to walk outside of your vehicle, open the door with
now
your back
both.
To traffic.
Yeah,
now you're endangering your life and your child's life,
right.
Trying to kind of open your car door into traffic. So I recommend the passenger side, unless for your parking garage is really tight on one side or carpool with your older child or whatever other factors may come into play. I think that's usually the best spot for most parents, again, because you want to make sure that you can use your car seat correctly every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often easier for parents to do that with latch than seatbelt.
Yeah, it was for us. The seatbelt, you have to thread it through just right.
Mm-hmm.
And the latch, once it's anchored in there, it's not going anywhere.
Definitely not.
Because that anchor is like in the frame of the car.
It is. It's like attached to the steel plates as part of the chassis in the vehicle.
That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. But the seatbelt, it's often the hardest day for new car seat technicians. We just had a class at our headquarters last week, and the day when you have to learn about different types of seatbelts is overwhelming for everybody who's trying to learn. But there's so many different seatbelt types and buckles and different things that I think parents can easily get very overwhelmed and confused trying to figure out their seatbelt. But majority of new vehicles are seatbelts that have a switchable retractor, which basically just means that it can either be in a locked position or an unlocked position. And whenever you're installing a car seat with a seatbelt, you want to make sure that the seatbelt is locked. And to do that, you basically pull the seatbelt out all the way until you can't pull it out any further. And then when you let go of a little bit, you'll hear a little ratchet sound,
mm-hmm.
like a click, 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 click. And if you can hear that and then try to pull the seatbelt back out again, it won't go.
Right.
That's how you know your seatbelt is locked. So after you finish installing your car seat, you want to make sure you pull that seatbelt out all the way until you can hear that ratchet sound and know that it is locked. I once did a celebrity car seat check, and they had the car seat installed with a seatbelt. And the first thing I did is I just, grabbed it with two fingers at the belt path to test and make sure that the car seat was installed tightly enough. I could literally pull the entire car seat out of the vehicle while it was still snapped in with the seatbelt.
Oh, so gosh. It
wasn't going to be protecting that child very much at all,
right.
in an accident because the entire car seat could move in and out without the seatbelt being locked.
We do this with swaddles sometimes. We do a comedy night, and we have like a few dads or partners come up and do their best job with a swaddle with a little mannequin baby inside it. And sometimes you literally just pick it up and the baby rolls right out. It's not swaddled at all. And it's sort of funny but it's serious at the same time because it's so important to have the car seat especially installed properly. And it's just for some reason so challenging to do on your own sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of decisions.
I learned the hard way that it was, this is something in your case that you guys do all the time, and you know all the different car seats and you know all the different cars and types of seatbelts. And what was helpful for me was our car seat installer helped me understand where the pitfalls were,
mm-hmm.
and how to do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time we cleaned our car seat, I felt good going to reinstall it. But I will tell you what, it was never as tight and well placed as when the professional did it.
Absolutely. So, I think maybe we could talk a little bit about how to get that install tight. Once you've chosen where the car seat should get installed, what do you have to do next?
Yeah.
So for an infant seat, which I think, is the one that most of you will be using, you have two pieces to your car seat. You have that bucket carrier, and then you have a car seat base. And a lot of families will choose, because they have two cars, one for mom and one for dad, to get a second base to keep it in the other car. And what's really convenient is that, you know, one parent always just has the bucket, and then both cars have the base installed, and you can just click it in and out of whichever car you happen to be using that day. So when you're installing your car seat base, the first thing you want to check is the recline. So as we talked about before the break, babies have really tiny little windpipes, and you want to make sure that their airway doesn't get blocked if their head flops forward. So particularly for infants that don't have a lot of head control, you need that car seat to be properly reclined so that their head is fully supported. And almost all infant seats have, you know, some way to adjust the recline angle, whether that is a little foot that pops down when you twist a knob, or you can kind of push a button and it releases to different levels, or even a little swivel foot that you can kind of pivot from front to back. A new feature that you're seeing on more and more car seats is multiple recline angles, where, you know, it's like numbered 1 through 9, and you can kind of choose which recline you want. So you want to make sure that you find the recline angle in your car, and you'll be able to tell if you have that correct, because there will be either a little bubble indicator that tells you you've got the correct recline, or a line that is drawn on the car seat that says this line should be level to the ground. And make sure you're parked on a flat surface and not a hill when you're testing that. So you want to get the recline angle first. And then you want to make sure that you get it installed tightly enough, again, either with the latch or the seatbelt. And you can tell that if the car seat doesn't move in more than 1 inch in any direction. So this is really important. I see parents, maybe like dad came by to have the car seat installed, and then mom gets home and goes out to check it and says, "This is so loose. What are you talking about? Are you sure you had this done correctly?" And it's because they're checking the tightness in the wrong spot. So you always want to check to make sure it's installed tightly at the belt path. That's either where the seatbelt goes through or where those latch connectors come out. And that's kind of at the back of the vehicle seat. If you're checking at the front, kind of like where your knees would hit if you were sitting in the seat, that side of the car seat is intentionally loose, and you can lift it up and down and move it all around. And that's because in an accident, you want it to ride the wave of the crash with your child's head. But if you test kind of at the other end of the car seat,
it shouldn't move more than an inch.
It shouldn't move more than 1 inch, side to side, front to back, in any direction. So that is really key. And I think for 8 months pregnant moms, please have someone help you, because sometimes they can be really tight. I mean, really just challenging, heavy, and difficult to get around in there. And if you can have somebody else who's a little bit more nimble help you out, you might be better off.
Great. What about when you're using it without the base?
So when you're using the car seat without the base, which a lot of people do in taxis or, you know, when riding in a different car, you have to install with the seatbelt. And there's a little belt path right over the top of the baby. So first you want to harness your baby into the car seat, and then you'll route the seatbelt over the top of the bucket seat, click it in, and lock the seatbelt again. And then you'll just want to check, as always, that it doesn't move more than 1 inch at the belt path.
Same thing, even without the base.
And then I just saw last month Britax released a new car seat called the Endeavors that has a European belt path on it, which actually allows you to kind of route the shoulder belt behind the baby's head.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So it's a cool new feature that they've just brought to the U.S., which is great.
When you have the chest clips, is there a specific level that they're supposed to be at?
Yeah. So this is kind of the thing that draws the most Facebook ire, I would say, from the car seat world. In fact, there was a vehicle company that recently did a TV commercial and showed the baby with the chest clip too low. And I think, you know, the rest of the world went a little wild, writing nasty gram comments all over their commercial on YouTube. But the chest clip should be up at the armpit level. So much like you don't want the seatbelt on a child in a booster seat to go over their soft tissue and their internal organs in their stomach. Same thing with that chest clip. You want to have it much higher up at the breastbone level. And babies have really tiny little necks, so it might feel really high to you, but that is the best place, is right on top of that breastbone.
As opposed to the soft tissue underneath the diaphragm?
Exactly. You don't want that chest clip. And again, it's called a chest clip because it's supposed to go at the chest, but we so frequently see parents who are not getting it at the right level.
Belly clip.
Exactly. It's not the belly clip, it's the chest clip. And I think that goes hand in hand with the harness tightness. I don't know, Dr. Berlin, if your kids have resisted
the tension in there?
Yeah.
One of them. Three didn't mind. One was very sensitive.
That's good. So with the harness tightness, there is a feature on every car seat, usually between the child's legs. You'll see a button or a little hook that you can push or lift that will allow you to loosen the harness. So if you can get your child out of his or her car seat without first loosening it, it was too loose while they were riding in the car. You should have to loosen and tighten the harness every single time you take a child in or out. And
it's really easy to do.
It's really easy to do, but so many people don't do it.
Sure. But I'm just saying, if you're listening, you're like, wait a second, installing is one thing, but every time I have to loosen and tighten it, the manufacturers make it really easy to do. You just pull a little lever or push a little button.
Push a little button, exactly. This is really easy to do. And what's great with the infant-only car seat is you will often put your child in the car seat inside your house. So you can get them all buckled in, and then you can just carry the child fully buckled out into the vehicle and snap them in. So on the harness, I think one of the reasons the chest clip is often too low is because it hasn't been tightened enough. So people are always asking me, is this tight enough? And we use something called the pinch test. So you should, after you have tightened your child into the harness, be able to, you have to test if you are able to pinch any of that harness webbing vertically. So you don't want to pinch it side to side. It's really hard to describe. Maybe we can put a picture somewhere. But
up and down.
Yeah,
pinching.
You want to pinch it up and down. And if you can pinch any of that harness material, it's too loose.
Yeah, if you can squeeze it together and make a loop sort of,
exactly.
Right, then it's too loose.
So
it needs to be taut.
It needs to be really taut. And you want to make sure that the harness is at the right shoulder height for your child. So we talked a little bit about those no rethread harnesses or the, you know, kind of original way, which is car seats that have four or five slots for the harnesses. When your child is rear facing, the harness needs to come out at the shoulder level. It needs to be at or below for a rear facing child. So what that means is that the harness should come out of the car seat frame and then kind of go over your child.
It has to come up
over. Exactly. It kind of has to flip over it and make like a little U over their shoulder.
So if you look at it and it's coming down from the frame onto the shoulder, then it's
too
high.
Exactly. So you don't want to move the harness up to the next slot until your child has kind of grown and their shoulder is now covering the next highest slot.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. So that's when you know it's time to move it up, is once they've covered over that next little area. Or on a no rethread harness, you can kind of just slide it up and down as long as it stays below the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then what's, of course, confusing about car seats, there's a reason it's a five-day class. Once your child is forward facing, then you want it to be at or above their shoulders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was only for rear facing.
Yeah, so only for rear facing, it has to be at or below. So again, that's why I was saying convertible car seats can be so confusing for people because there's so many different ways.
What practically is the difference?
Well, the convertible car seat can convert from rear facing
to forward facing. But I'm saying, why do we want them lower facing that way and higher facing the other way?
It's just basically the way that it protects your child in a crash, because when you're facing backwards, you're going to kind of slide towards the front of the car as you slam on the brakes. Because the kind of forward momentum of your vehicle, the child's going to keep going even as you're slamming on the brakes. So when it is kind of coming out from below their shoulder, it's keeping it in there more snug and preventing them from sliding forward as far.
When you turn it around, then you're going to slide forward with the car.
Exactly.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's a little physics for you.
Yeah, but it helps to understand the logic behind it, because then it helps you remember if you're doing it right or not.
Exactly.
What about in here in sunny California, we don't have this as much, but the winter clothing, that big puffy snowsuit, and then going into the car seat. How does that play a role?
Yeah, there's some really terrifying crash test videos you can see on the internet of what happens when a child wears a winter coat inside their car seat. So if you can picture, it's very poofy. It's almost like air, though, that's inside of that. So while the harness might look snug, in a car accident, that's almost just like empty space, as if the harness were really loose. And if your harness is really loose, if you picture a little baby, it can almost kind of slide off the shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and then the baby can become a projectile
okay.
and fly out of the car seat. So that is why you want the harness to be so snug right there over the shoulders, to keep it properly positioned on the child. And a winter coat can just add a lot more looseness to that harness. So we recommend for the folks who are in cold weather climates that you put the baby in their onesie or kind of just their regular clothes, harness them into the car seat, and then you can always put a blanket or something on top of them. There's even, speaking of cool new innovations, kind of these car seat jackets that are
I saw one, right? So it's a winter coat where the puffy part comes off.
Mm-hmm.
And the fleece part stays on,
mm-hmm.
so they stay warm, but there's no space.
Exactly, and I even saw one that almost looks backwards, so it's like you put your arms through it, but your arms are, you know, your harness is underneath it.
Oh, so it's on the other side of the
harness.
It's
almost like you're wearing your jacket backwards.
Right.
So it's like a blanket on the front with armholes.
Yeah.
So pretty cool innovation.
That's helpful.
But
is there a limit to how many car seats you can put next to each other in a car? Like you mentioned, the mom with twins or triplets.
Mm-hmm. I would say that, bless their hearts, those poor triplet moms are probably buying new cars because it can be really hard to get three across in the back seat.
Is it safe to?
It is safe if they're installed correctly. So typically what we would see for a three across situation is the two outer children using the latch system and then the center child using a
seatbelt
for their car seat installation. But there are a few car seat brands on the market that are more narrow intentionally for the purpose of being able to do three across. The first two that come to mind are Diono and Kleck, versus some of the other brands where they might have a feature like really great side impact protection with these big wings and cushions that you see on the side of the car seat. It just makes it wider.
Yeah.
So it's much harder to fit one of those car seats three across compared to one of the narrow ones.
What about airplanes when you travel on an airplane?
Our position as CPSTs is always that it's better to have your child in a car seat than it is to hold them in your lap.
Those are the two choices that they give. The airline gives you.
Right. Well, I mean, you basically, for a child that's under the age of two, you can fly with them for free if they sit in your lap.
Right.
Our position is that it is safer to buy them a seat and put them in a car seat on the airplane. Then again, there's not that many crashes that happen in airplanes, so I don't think it's an unreasonable risk if you do want to hold your baby instead of paying for that extra seat.
Well, but sometimes it's turbulence or mm-hmm. just other things that happen.
Yeah, it's safer and they'll probably sleep better in their car seat.
When you do install a car seat into or take a car seat onto an airplane, are there specific things to look out for when you're belting it in?
Yeah, I mean, you're just using a belt, a lap belt only. They don't have shoulder belts on airplanes, so it should be relatively straightforward to identify the belt path for the car seat. But I think, to be truthful, it's a little scary to check your car seat as well because you just don't know what they're doing down there when they're kind of throwing it in with all the cargo and it's getting bounced around.
Yeah.
So much like car seats can't be used after crashes, if it gets bounced around too much, the foam can get cracked or the car seat can be damaged. So from that perspective as well, I prefer that parents bring it on the plane with them and fly with it.
All right. I've learned so much. I sort of wish I can go back 12 years or so. And
your kids are all safe, so
redo
you don't have
it.
To feel bad.
Yeah, we made it. We survived. Is there any final tip that you'd like to share?
I think just always feel free to seek the help of an expert. Car seats are one of the most complicated and scary things about having a child. There is a reason it's a 5-day class to get certified as a car seat technician. You can learn CPR in 4 hours, but it takes five
That's
days
interesting. Good point.
To learn how to fit car seats into cars. So don't be afraid to ask for help, whether it's, again, with a fireman or a policeman or someone who has that certification, or come visit us at Tot Squad.
Yeah, so you mentioned your blog. Where can we find you online?
Yeah, we're at totsquad.com. And we now have car seat technicians in 45 states.
Wow.
I know. It's exciting. So
that's amazing.
Doing that,
go you.
Thank you. And we're offering stroller and car seat cleaning and stroller repairs in 4 markets, LA, San Diego, New York, and DC.
I bet that's just going to grow and grow.
I hope so.
Jennifer Saxon, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Always a pleasure.
And at home, thanks for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. If you have have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us your suggestions to info@informedpregnancy.com and visit us online for lots more pregnancy and parenting media at informedpregnancy.com.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.